Today's January 5th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 111, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaff, an editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing good. Actually, I'm doing so much better than last week. Not that last week was bad, but I'm in my office again. There's no water anywhere. Everything is dry.
Woot.
Woot. Actually, I'll give that one a double woot. So,
woot, woot.
Yeah, woot, woot. And now, you're getting ready to head off to CES, aren't you?
I am leaving tomorrow at the time of this recording for CES. It should be lots of work.
Yeah, you know, you're quite a trooper because you're going to CES, then you turn around and go to Macworld.
Yeah, going to Macworld after that, and it's going to be a busy show for us. We're giving out the TMO Editor's Choice Awards for products at the show that we think are better than everything else.
You know, I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes out because there's already some really great products to look at, and I'm sure by the time Macworld unfolds, there will be even more.
Yeah, we've had a lot of folks submit their products, and there's some good stuff that's going to be shown at the show for the first time. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a really busy next 2 weeks for me and really for all of us because the news is heating up fast and Apple is doing really well. And of course, we're going to be doing our party and yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very cool. And And by the time this is done, it'll be interesting if people listen to like this podcast and then listen to the podcast that we do after Macworld Expo ends.
And yes, which we will do for the first time in the same place.
That's right. We've never actually podcasted in the same place.
No, Jeff and John have for the Mac Geek app. Whenever they're in the same place at the same time, they do the podcast together, and they've been doing the Geek Gab longer than we've been doing the Apple Weekly Report. So this will be our first opportunity to actually sit in the same room and be able to try to make each other laugh when the other is talking.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it. And last year at Macworld was the only time I ever got to record a podcast in the same room with Ricky.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And Ricky is going to be very busy. He's going to be at the show. He's going to be working with us, covering the show, and he's also doing a big channel, all-day channel seminar kind of thing to for vendors wanting to get their products into the channel. Did you know that?
I did, but that's only because Ricky told me.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a busy show. This is probably going to be the best Macworld in years. I don't mean just for us. I mean for the whole platform. Things are going well these days.
They are. And saying that this is going to be the best Macworld in years, that's actually saying a lot because last year was a really impressive, powerful Macworld.
And so was the year before that. And, you know, we started seeing the change the year before that. And
yes.
You know, that was basically, you know, coming off of what seemed like a few years of a downward trend.
Yeah, I'd say that Macworld has a new vitality, and I know I'm going to be totally dead by the time the week is done, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of it.
Yeah, fortunately, we're going to take a month off after that.
Oh, sweet.
That's just kidding, folks. Not happening.
Crap.
Not happening. And now, with that, note that Jeff is doing the recording on his end with Ubercaster this week, and which probably means you're going to end up hearing the show faster. That's a good thing.
It is. It also means that the audio quality will probably be different than it was last week, just because different applications give us a different finished product.
Yep, but I think it'll be good. And with that, let's do the news, buddy.
Cool. Apple was hit with an antitrust lawsuit for its iPod and music sales tactics. Mac market share took a jump in December, and the iPhone and iPod Touch had trouble telling time on New Year's Eve. In the entertainment world, Sony finally saw the value in DRM-free music. Warner dealt a hard blow to DVD, and Apple's Get a Mac ads included the best commercial characters in 2007.
Apple is facing a lawsuit that claims the company is violating the Sherman Antitrust Act for failing to support Microsoft's proprietary DRM-protected WMA music files on the iPod. The case was filed on December 31st, 2007, and the plaintiffs are hoping to get their suit certified as a class action, certainly a class act. The case alleged that Apple placed, quote, unneeded and unjustifiable technological restrictions on its most popular products in an effort to restrict consumer choice and to restrain what little remains of its competition in the digital music markets, unquote. The complaint went on to say that the iPod Shuffle Sigmatel STMP3550 chip supports the WMA format, but, quote, Apple's crippleware operating system software prevents the iPod Shuffle from playing WMA files, unquote. The plaintiffs also allege that Apple is abusing its market-dominating position to price its iPod media players in a, quote-unquote, monopolistic, excessive, and arbitrary way. The suit pointed to the $100 U.S. price difference between the 1-gig and 4-gig iPod Nanos that at one time were on the market and noted that there is only a $5.52 price difference between a 1-gig flash chip at $4.15 and a 4-gig flash chip, which according to the plaintiffs is priced at $9.97. Apple has not commented on the pending litigation.
Apple market share zoomed from 6.8% in November to 7.31% in December of 2007. In the last 2 days of December, however, it rose all the way up to 8.01%, according to data from Net Applications. Net Applications measures market share based on web browser activity at sites across its own network, and in this case, the rise from November represents an 18% increase for the Mac in about a month. Net Applications noted that those sites getting hits from the iPhone had also risen dramatically, moving from 0.09% in November to 0.17% in December. Net Applications reported, quote, another interesting aspect of this data is that these Mac numbers do not include visitors using Windows on Mac hardware via Boot Camp or other programs. Therefore, these numbers actually understate the market share for the Mac. We have no way of telling by how much, however, unquote. Now, while the statistics from Net Applications show an increase in Mac activity, they can only be used as a general indicator of the overall number of Mac users on the Internet, and these numbers should not be confused for market share as a measurement of new units sold. And in this case, the numbers help show a continuing upward trend in the number of Mac users.
Apple's iPhone and iPod Touch suffered a minor date rollover glitch during the transition from 2007 to 2008. Many users found that the handhelds displayed the wrong year and world clock for international cities until their home time shifted to 2008. It appears that the date issues cropped up only during the time period when there were some time zones in 2007 and others in 2008. Once every time zone transitioned into the new year, world clock cities began displaying the correct date once again. Although it is a seemingly harmless bug because dates displayed correctly again once every time zone was in 2008, the problem could have caused problems for users that rely on the iPhone and iPod Touch built-in alarms. We hope that Apple will address the bug before 2009.
Sony BMG, the last major label holdout in the DRM battle, is finally giving in and will begin offering copy protection-free music downloads in the first quarter of 2008. The record label hasn't revealed yet how much of its library will be available without copy protection, or whether or not it will offer those tracks through Apple's iTunes Store. EMI was the first of the big four labels to offer DRM-free music. The organization began offering higher quality recordings without copy protection through the iTunes Store earlier in 2007 after Apple CEO Steve Jobs published an open letter condemning DRM practices. Universal Music Group announced a DRM-free deal with Amazon MP3 later in the year, and Warner Music Group joined the Amazon MP3 bandwagon shortly before the end of the year. And with all four of the major record labels on board to offer DRM-free music, the demand for copy-protected music purchases may finally begin to diminish. and David Pacman, CEO and president of the iTunes Store competitor eMusic, commented, quote, "There won't be any DRM of significance by the end of 2008. The only time you will see it used is for the rental services," unquote.
Warner Home Entertainment announced on Friday that it will cease its dual-format HD movie support, dropping HD DVD in favor of exclusive Blu-ray support after May 2008. The announcement was made jointly by Barry Meyer, chairman and CEO of Warner Brothers, and Kevin Tejada, president of Warner Brothers Home Entertainment Group. Mr. Meyer commented, quote, "Warner Brothers' move to exclusive release in the Blu-ray disc format is a strategic decision focused on the long term and the most direct way to give consumers what they want. The window of opportunity for high-definition DVD could be missed if format confusion continues to linger," unquote. Warner put itself in the unique position of making a key decision in the Blu-ray HD DVD battle by holding out and being the last to support both formats. Had Warner maintained its dual format support or gone with HD DVD, the studio likely would have fed continued consumer apathy that would have resulted in lost revenue for all the studios. Warner is now the sixth studio to support Blu-ray exclusively. Others include Disney, Fox, Lionsgate, MGM, and Sony, leaving only Universal and Paramount supporting HD DVD exclusively. Until this announcement, the number of titles for each format was at a roughly 50-50 split. Warner's defection to the Blu-ray format means that the balance has now shifted to about a 70-30 split in favor of Blu-ray, the format not supported by Microsoft. When asked for comment, a spokesperson for the HD DVD group said...
Apple's Mac and PC transcended the ranks of commercial spokesmen in 2007 to become USA Today's best ad-based characters of the year. The characters portrayed by Justin Long and John Hodgman appeared in 17 advertisements throughout the year. The commercials were conceived by TBWA Chiat Day and, quote, "masterfully humanize a complex technical comparison," unquote. And that's according to USA Today. Mike Lear, associate creative director from the advertising firm The Martin Agency, added that the Mac and PC ads are, quote-unquote, absolute perfection. The impact of TBWA Chiat Day on Apple's advertising world went beyond selling iMacs last year. The company was also behind the successful marketing campaign for the iPhone that showed off iPhone features before the device launched at the end of June. USA Today dubbed the pre-release ad the, quote-unquote, "make me want to buy it now," commercial of the year.
Tasty. With apologies to the folks at Nameco, it's time for the Context Machine, where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
Indeed, we do. And I think that we should just start off with the one that made me do a double take this week, the monopoly lawsuit against Apple.
Yeah. Even though Apple has not, let me think about this. Apple has not, I mean, like the difference between what Microsoft did with Windows and Office and browsers and everything else was to use very predatory practices to keep other people out of the market. The
right.
difference with Apple here is that Apple hasn't done anything to keep other people out of the market other than make a better product than they can.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. And,
nothing was dumped. Apple sells these products at a profit.
Right.
In other words, like one of the things that you can do to try to gain or maintain monopoly status or to keep competitors out of the market is to sell your product at a loss or even give it away for free in order to make it unprofitable and impossible for your competitors to do business. For instance, Microsoft with the crappy Internet Explorer being dumped on the market in order to put Netscape out of business. It was the sole reason it was done.
Netscape, and it worked.
And it worked. Netscape derived a lot of its income from the sale of Navigator. And when Microsoft started giving away IE for free, that was pretty much it. And Apple is selling its songs at a small profit and is selling its hardware to profit. And its hardware is cheaper than the competing MP3 devices on the market, yet they still make a profit on it.
Yeah, well, and of course that goes to Apple's uncanny ability to be able to manage their components.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't claim to be a lawyer. I've never even played one on TV. I don't claim to be an expert in antitrust action, but this is just a bunch of crap. You know, the Apple has messed up the market by not licensing a proprietary format from another competitor. It's ridiculous.
You know, now I have played a lawyer, but not on TV, just on stage. And actually, it has no bearing on my ability to answer.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You actually played a lawyer on stage?
Yeah.
Dude, you know, you just have this incredibly rich past of very interesting jobs that I just, you know, keep learning little things, always kind of blow me away.
You know, if I told you everything about me all at once, okay, first that would be kind of creepy, probably for both of us, but it would just take the mystery out of our relationship.
It's true. It's true.
So where was I?
You were playing a lawyer on stage.
Oh yeah, I was. And it was a great setup, Ed. Thanks. I forgot where I was going with that.
I completely messed it up. You were going to offer your opinion on this.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So where I was going was that I'm having a very hard time seeing Apple as a monopolistic predator in this case, because the iPod is not locked in to the iTunes Store and iTunes Store only music. And the music that people can pick up, well, actually now from the iTunes Store even, can be used on other AAC compatible devices. And AAC is the file format that Apple uses for music at the iTunes Store.
Yeah, an open standard that is controlled by the MPEG group that can be licensed by anyone.
Right, and in my opinion, and apparently the opinion of many other people, a far superior format to the aging MP3.
Yes, and a superior format to the crappy WMA format, which has many things that Microsoft thinks the IP owners want instead of focusing on what the hell we want as users.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a whole difference in mentality there. When you look at what so many companies do when it comes to that file formatting or just it, products in general, they do not get how to provide a product that the consumer wants, but they totally get how to provide a product that they want the consumer to want.
Yeah, or that they want to be able to sell. I mean, you know, right. Many companies often confuse what's good for them as being what the customer wants also.
Right.
And Microsoft does this again and again and again. Microsoft does this all the time. It's part of the problem with HD DVD, and it's been part of the problem with WMA. I mean, the real issue here, if you want to talk about monopolies and issues with Apple having too much power, it's that the labels required Apple to sell, assuming that Steve is telling the truth, required Apple to sell DRM crippled music.
Right.
If the labels had not, at least again according to Steve, if the labels had not insisted on that, Apple could have used, or said, Steve told us that they would have used MP3 files, MP3 format for downloads, and those files would have been playable anywhere. Well, if, and of course now we're seeing this happen, right? But if as DRM music continues to go away, this whole issue about Apple having monopoly power or anything along those lines will carry no water whatsoever, not even a little bit, because there, you know, competing music services will be able to sell an MP3 and already are, for instance, Amazon and eMusic. And competing players can play music not only from Apple, from iTunes, but right. Also, again, from Amazon and from eMusic.
Right.
And anyone else that wants to get on board and not have their heads up their asses.
Which, besides being uncomfortable, is also unsanitary.
It is, in fact, very unsanitary. And this whole thing tends to get me a little bit tense. But this
really?
Is, to me, this is one of the most ridiculous lawsuits I've seen against Apple yet.
You know, another thing that I see as a potential problem with this antitrust suit is that they talk about the pricing of the iPod Nano. Mm-hmm. And What I'm wondering is if this ever ends up in court, and my guess is that it won't, but is it going to be something where they're having to try and really show that Apple was controlling the market through pricing? And
well, that's not what they're saying. They're saying that they're able to charge prices that are only supported by their monopoly. In other words, they're able to gouge the market for extra profits only because of their monopoly power.
You know, if the pricing of an iPod was substantially higher than the pricing of another competing media player, then I would think that you might have a little bit of a case. But I just don't see that.
Yeah, well, it's not the case. Generally speaking, Apple tends to be below the rest of the market, especially when you match feature for feature.
Right.
You get just an absolute crap. If you want to get something that's cheaper than a Shuffle, or cheaper than a Nano, or cheaper than the iPod Video Classic, whatever the hell the damn thing's called right now. I'm sorry, my profanity. I'm gonna clean up my act here. You're getting something that has far fewer features, and part of that is because Apple was able to lock up the flash memory market from a standpoint of securing contracts. That's how they locked it up. They simply bought the stuff, and they're able to get prices that no one else can get.
Now, as far as I know, Apple is not taking any action that would prevent the same memory providers from selling or from doing contracts with other MP3 player makers.
Well, no, not at all. What they've done is they've locked up the inventory. I mean, there's not enough flash memory to meet demand.
Right, but what my point is that they haven't done anything to actually prevent anyone else from getting their own memory price lock in with the vendors. I mean, the problem right now is that they just simply can't make enough for everyone.
Yeah. Anyone else with the dollars to buy who needed enough could basically get the same deal or even try to get a better deal than what Apple's getting. But they,
you know,
but
and
they
I'm
can't
assuming,
because no one else wants the other competitor's devices because they suck.
Right. And even companies like Samsung, which provides memory to Apple but makes their own players, well, they're not beating Apple's prices for
no, they're not.
Yeah, they're just not.
So I don't know. That, this to me doesn't have a little bit of merit. But I am glad to see on a slightly different note. I'm glad to see Sony coming around to selling DRM-free music. Now we just need to get this happening at iTunes.
Right. And my guess is that it will happen eventually. But I think right now the big labels they want to flex their muscle, so to speak.
Yeah, it's all coming at Macworld.
Yeah, well, I think that would be fantastic if we had an announcement at Macworld that we had all the major labels doing DRM-free music at the iTunes store. I think that would be fantastic.
You know, we talked about this last week, and I was saying that maybe that's one reason why they haven't, is because Steve just is wanting to keep hold of that message. With Sony coming on board now, too, I firmly believe that Steve is simply holding the announcement for Macworld when he can present it in the manner in which he has become accustomed.
Yeah, in his special Steve way.
Yeah. I control everything.
You know, on one hand, that's a really good thing, because if he has absolute control over everything, then he can make sure that everything plays out the way he wants. On the other side of that, you know, you can't control everything, and you certainly can't control people like us or anyone else in the media. People are going to say and do what they want. So, you know, we're going to have to find that happy balance between Steve having ultimate control and, I guess, us running around his feet saying what we want.
Sure. His perspective, that's our problem to deal with.
Right.
Be that as it may, I think that we're going to see those announcements come at Macworld. I think that they're going to announce, you know, Sony and Warner Brothers and Universal and everybody else as offering DRM-free versions of the iTunes Store. I think the consumers are going to benefit. I think this will help drive prices down. You're going to be able to go shop at Amazon and play it on your MP3 on your iPod, which you already can. You're gonna, you know, you can clearly do that at eMusic also. I think that we're going to end up seeing other competitors. I think that this is a huge blow to Microsoft and to
yeah.
a format. I mean, this is just a huge blow to them, because who in their right mind is going to want to license that crap when they can go ahead and do MP3, an accepted standard, for free, more or less, and actually provide customers with what they want?
That's a really good question. And I'm sure there's some people out there that just simply don't have enough information and they don't know any better.
Mm-hmm. And this means, too, that the other manufacturers of digital media devices are going to find that they might have more of a market opportunity, because now people can buy the biggest online media store and play it on other parties, assuming this announcement takes place.
Right.
That'll be good for the market, too.
That would be fantastic for the market. And I think that one of the great side effects that we would see out of this is that companies that are making competing products to the iPod would mm-hmm. really have to stop and focus on what they're making, because if we have this otherwise level playing field, mm-hmm. now everyone has to compete on the quality of the product they're manufacturing, which
and
I think is
price or quality. How's that?
Okay, price or quality. And so if you're going to make a product that's going to compete head-to-head with an iPod, then you need to make something that's as good as an iPod.
Or better.
And if we can get companies to really work towards doing that, then that gives us a real healthy competition, in my mind, because we have all these companies working to make better products, and then Apple saying, okay, we have to keep setting the bar higher so that mm-hmm. our competitors don't come out with something better than what we have.
You know, another very good thing about this that I really just now thought about as we're sitting here chatting about these things is that, Microsoft, I've long posited that Microsoft has had a very detrimental effect on the marketplace as a whole, in part because for a whole number of reasons. The thing I'm going to focus on at this particular moment is what I've always called the good enough syndrome.
Right.
Right. Things are just good enough. Windows software, I've met Windows software developers. They all have this attitude of it's good enough. They don't care. It works. Yeah, they're using Visual Basic. Who cares? It works. It's good enough.
Ouch.
I'm not saying, by any means am I saying that all Windows developers suck or that no Windows people can make any kind of good software. I don't mean that at all. But the vast majority of Mac software works and works really well. The vast majority of Windows software does not work all that well, and it's crap.
You know, and it goes back to exactly what you said. So many developers on the Windows platform are striving to make something that's good enough. But then the mentality on the Mac platform is different.
Exactly. And that's largely because Microsoft has controlled that market. Everyone is basically following in, Microsoft's footsteps. Well, in the digital device market, the digital media device market, the MP3 player market, Apple controls the market. Apple is the one who is setting the standard.
Right.
Okay. So a side effect of all that, especially if WMA is Windows Media Audio ends up going by the wayside, is that people are not going to be looking to Microsoft for the way. They're not going to be in that Microsoft mindset. It's possible that eventually out of all this may come companies or developers or someone that can actually make something that is really, really good, that can actually compete with Apple, because they'll be thinking about it. Because people that actually want to sit and say, we can't ship that, it's crap, we have to make it better, maybe they're actually going to have a little power now. I don't know. I don't have any evidence to support that this is happening, but it could, and that's exciting. It's good for consumers.
It is. And I really like seeing the competition, and that's ultimately what I hope we see out of what's happening now. First, we'll have competition in the music download market, and that mm-hmm. and that's a good thing for
Absolutely.
Consumers. And then it will lead to a better and healthier competition in the portable media player market. And that's mm-hmm. going to be a great thing too. This is a scenario that unless we end up with a bunch of developers at companies that are suffering from oxygen deprivation, this will be a win for consumers.
Hopefully. And it'll be, well, it won't be a win for necessarily. Well, for some companies, it'll be a win. I hope it's a win for quality. We'll have to see. We'll just absolutely have to see. But, you know, another thing that happened this week that I really want to talk about is
HD-DVD.
The fact that, yeah, I think HD-DVD is largely dead now.
You know, I have felt HD-DVD has been largely dead since summer of 2007. And
well, yeah, but Universal switching sides.
Yeah, that kind of stirred things up for a little while.
Yes, it slowed things up for a while.
Right, and now we have Warner jumping to the Blu-ray exclusive camp, and that's a major nail in the HD-DVD coffin.
Yeah, well, a 70-30 split is a major nail in the HD-DVD coffin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and why is it that we care? Well, for one thing, Blu-ray, I personally think that Blu-ray has more features that I, as the user, wants. For another thing, Apple has been supporting Blu-ray, although not so much that they're shipping lots of Blu-ray drives out there, but, you know, they basically threw their towel in with Blu-ray a few years ago.
Right, right.
But the other big thing, and I, you know, kind of mentioned this in the way we read the news, is that Microsoft is one of the principal developers and supporters of the HD DVD format. And their big aim has been to give the content owners, the big media companies, everything they want instead of focusing on what the consumers want.
Yeah, how about that?
Not that Blu-ray is completely free of copy protection. This is not something I'm an expert in by any stretch. It's not that Blu-ray is completely free of copyright controls and DRM schemes, but Microsoft is putting a lot of effort into making HD DVD a format that the media companies want to offer their products on, thinking that that's how they would get market share. It's what they always do. They're always right. Thinking about the wrong people. They don't ever think about the damn end user.
Right, and in this case, it looks like Warner finally went, oh, end user, Blu-ray, that's the way we need to go.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
My turn. Okay. One of the things that has always kind of bothered me about HD-DVD is that one of the selling points is that the overall manufacturing costs are supposed to be lower because you have fewer changes you need to make to existing factories. Mm-hmm. But if you go into a store, when you go in to buy a disc, there are no differences, really. Blu-ray and HD-DVD discs cost the same. So don't sit there and tell me that this product is going to save me money when I look at the price tags on the two competing formats and they're the same.
Right. That's true. But Microsoft – and this may not be true, and I'm glad this is in the context machine, not the news. But as I understand that Microsoft's been propping up, I think, Toshiba, the only HD DVD drive manufacturers.
Well, they may very well. Hey, it's a context machine, and it's our show. We can say whatever we want, right?
Yeah. Truth be darned.
That's right. Well, as I recall, earlier this year, there was money paid to a couple of the movie studios.
Yes.
They make animation. I can't remember which one. Anyhow, so money was paid to these studios to back HD-DVD.
Right. That was Universal and DreamWorks.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I can remember the incident.
And even then, it was kind of an equivocal support because they basically said that we've got this agreement in place for 18 months.
Right.
I'm guessing now that they're going to be looking for ways to get out of it.
Yeah, and even if they can't, they're probably sitting in their big executive offices going, thank God we only did an 18-month deal.
Yep. You know, and the interesting thing here is that Sony has largely done everything wrong on the hardware side. You know, they put Blu-ray in the PlayStation 3, but they did it in such a way that there have been issues with like firmware changes that made some of them obsolete. They were very expensive, but it was at least a way to get more Blu-ray drives out there.
Right. It was a start.
It was a start. Microsoft has done almost everything right in terms of the Xbox, which has become an increasingly more viable gaming console platform, even if it's still losing money for the company. And they included HD DVD drives in the Xbox, but they made them cheap enough that it was never a barrier to entry in terms of folks buying.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so to a certain extent, I think the Blu-ray is winning despite Sony, which made the format in the first place.
Which is just so ironic. You're right. Sony has done many things wrong with getting all of this out and adopted. And Sony was actually in the position where they were practically killing the format themselves at one point by choosing to say, we don't want certain movie types, porn. porn exactly. on Blu-ray.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous choice.
I mean, right, and you know whether or not you think it's okay to make porno movies and then distribute them, the fact of the matter is that's an important industry for determining what media formats become accepted.
Well, yeah, you know, ever since the Bible first pushed Gutenberg, mm-hmm. you know, the initial use of the printing press was largely done for the propagation of the Bible. Since that time, porn has actually been more of a driving force in the development and propagation of new technologies in the printing and other publishing industries for centuries now. And so anyway, be that as it may, that was a stupid decision on Sony's part, and you know they've done a lot of things wrong. This battle was theirs to lose, and they actually came pretty close.
They did, and in spite of Sony's efforts, the format that I consider to be superior appears to be clearly on the winning track now.
Yep. Yeah. Hooray for Blu-ray.
Hooray for Blu-ray.
All right. Let's do some listener comments now.
I think that sounds like a great idea.
Jim wrote in with the following note. He said, DRM dead. Blu-ray, the victor. Mac market share on the rise. iPods and iTunes are still the end-all, be-all. Movie rentals are supposedly coming. When I look at all these things, one question keeps popping into my head. Is Steve Jobs the new king of all media? Certainly Howard Stern has been relegated to being court jester of satellite radio. And with Steve holding all the cards, ... he ended.
Dot, dot, dot. You know what that dot, dot, dot is called, on a side note?
Ellipsis.
Excellent. Thank okay. You. You know, my feeling is that Steve Jobs is not quite the king yet. He needs one more little jewel in his crown, and that would be the movie rental service.
Well, I think he's certainly probably one of the most influential people. I mean, I think that he has been very instrumental in getting the labels away from DRM crippled music.
Yes.
And, yes. You know, I think that it's his choices that have put the Mac market share on the rise, you know, after so many years of ever declining sales and ever declining market share. And, you know, that's good. I don't really think he had a whole lot to do with Blu-ray, except for maybe encouraging Disney as an important shareholder and board member.
Right. And yeah, so, you know, yes, he has definitely done so much to help revitalize this whole media industry. And that's a fantastic thing. And he's
at least interesting.
I'm sorry, what?
Or at least interesting.
Yeah. You know, it's fantastic in some ways, I suppose. And very interesting in others, as we now watch the playground fights between record labels and Apple and the movie studios and Apple. And, you know, and Apple keeps socking people in the eye and putting them in their place.
Well, when we were choosing which letter to read on the air, and we were talking about this before we started recording, you came up with a kind of quip that I think maybe is accurate.
I forgot what my quip was.
You said maybe not the king of all media, but maybe the duke of all media.
Oh, that's right. The duke or the prince of all media. Yes, that's right. I remember now. That was so long ago when we discussed that, like, what, 45 minutes ago?
Yeah, at least maybe an hour. Yeah, that would be a problem for you.
Yeah.
Yes, and Steve, I don't know. I'm going to disagree with Jim. I don't think that Steve is holding all the cards, but he certainly at least has a peek at what most of the other cards that the other players are playing with. Or something to kind of extend that poker analogy a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely in a power position. Whether or not he is the power player, well, we'll have to wait and see.
Indeed. Well, an excellent comment, Jim. We very much appreciate it. We appreciate all the comments that come in. Member, actually, Jeff, you know, I think you're supposed to say this, so why don't you do it?
Yeah, it's my turn to talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com. And remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thank you for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. That's recorded for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Thanks, everyone. Thank you.